Good morning, and welcome to our worship service this morning. We'll begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great privilege of coming here to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we ask you to direct our hearts and minds so that our worship truly comes from our heart, that it gives praise to your holy name. May our worship be pleasing to you through Jesus Christ, who has cleansed us from all our sins. May you fill us with the only true wisdom, the wisdom of your salvation, Christ crucified for us. We ask these things in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is hymn 842. The order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin our worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to us to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God, and God gives to them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our human frailty we cannot stand upright without you. Give strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. We pray this in Jesus' name, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The theme for our worship service today in both our readings and our sermon for this morning is the theme of wisdom. This section from Proverbs chapter 8 is a very famous one because it takes wisdom and personifies it, gives it human traits. We know then from the New Testament and from our scripture reading and sermon text from 1 Corinthians that wisdom became man when Jesus came on this earth. God's wisdom made flesh. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there ever was, ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primeval dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Glory to you, O Lord. In this section of 1 Corinthians and in our sermon text today, Paul contrasts the foolishness, quote-unquote foolishness of God, with the wisdom of man, and shows how even God's supposed foolishness is actually wiser than man's wisdom. Paul writes, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Here ends our second reading. Praise to you, O Christ.
Alleluia.
Congregation, congregation may remain seated. At this time, we ask the elected officers of our church council to come forward for their installation. Dear brothers, you have been elected in a regular meeting of our congregation as members of our church council. As such, you are to join with me in the working of the building up of the kingdom of God among us. You are to see that the services of God's house are held regularly and conducted decently and in order, that the gospel be preached in its purity in accordance with the teachings of Scripture, that the necessary provisions be made for the instruction of the young, and that Christian discipline be maintained. You are to administer to the earthly affairs of this congregation, to keep its property in good repair, and provide for the support of our called workers, and for all other necessary expenses. You are to assist the pastor in the care of all of our members, including the sick and the needy, in the cultivation of peace, harmony, and love among the members of this congregation, and in the promotion of the general welfare of this congregation and in the furtherance of Christ's kingdom here at home and abroad. You are also, as servants of Christ and officers of his church, to set your own households and your whole life as an example to this congregation of devout Christian living. In order that this congregation may be assured of your willingness to serve, I ask you now in the presence of God and this congregation, will you diligently and faithfully perform the duties of your office in conformity with the ordinances of God, the confessions of our church, and the constitution of this congregation, according to the ability which God gives you? If so, answer by saying, yes, with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
Whereas you have made this solemn promise, I commit you to the exercise of your office to which you have been elected. I charge you now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the church of which he is the head, that you give all diligence to perform your duties with untiring faithfulness. Make the word of God your guide. Search it daily for instruction. And to the end that your ministries may serve for the glory of God, for the best interests of this congregation, and for your own great joy, may God, without whom we can do nothing, give you a rich measure of his grace and bless abundantly your faithful labors. Let's join our hearts in prayer. O merciful and gracious God, you are an ever-present witness of all our promises and vows. We pray for Jesus' sake, send down your Holy Spirit upon these your servants, that they may discharge their duties with diligence, steadfastness, boldness, and wisdom. Grant them in particular the spirit of devotion and prayer, that in every time of need, they may, by prayer and supplication, make their requests for the church known to you, and in this house lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Enable them in all things to show themselves to be patterns of good works, that by their lives they may build up this congregation, and that the enemies of your church may find no ground for complaint. Set them as a blessing for your believers. Keep them in sincere harmony with their pastor, and grant also by their service the unity of this congregation may be strengthened, that your name may be hallowed, and your kingdom enlarged. And most importantly, Lord, that your will be done through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Go then, dear brothers, as you have been called. Be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Depart in peace. Invite the rest of the congregation to please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on the middle of page 6.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 526. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whom is found the true wisdom, dear fellow redeemed. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll read this time verses 26 through 31. Again, the Apostle Paul writing here, and he says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So a number of years ago, there was a game show on television called Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? I don't know if that show is still on television. You can probably find it somewhere on some channel. Are you familiar with that game show? If you're not, the premise is this. In this game show, there are answers that you, or there's questions you need to answer that are supposedly taken from the textbooks of grade schools that are between the ages of first grade through fifth grade. And if you get the question wrong and are eliminated from the game, the person who is playing is supposed to turn to the camera and shamefully admit that they are not, in fact, smarter than a fifth grader. Well, a number of Christmases ago, when that show was pretty popular, my mom and dad got that version of the game for home.
We had a lot of fun playing it, but I will admit that the game is harder than it sounds. You find out very quickly sometimes you are not, in fact, smarter than a fifth grader. It's a difficult game, especially if you are a long ways removed from fifth grade. Maybe those of you who are in grade school still, or those of you who are grade school teachers, would fare better than I did. For example, let me share with you a few sample questions from the game. Would you know the answers to these questions? A Pony Express rider's last stop heading east was what state? How about this one? Which president's head is right next to Lincoln's on Mount Rushmore? Now, whether or not you know the answers to those questions or not, does that mean you're really not smarter than a fifth grader, or that you are smarter than a fifth grader? Well, who's to say? Part of the problem, of course, is what I stated. It's been a long time since we've been in fifth grade, or in grade school for that matter, for many of us. And also we have to admit that many of these questions pertain to things that really aren't that important. Things that we would say are listed as trivia. Knowledge that is kind of fun to know, maybe interesting, but essentially useless. Probably not something that's going to affect your everyday life if you don't know which state the Pony Express went to the furthest east in our country, or whose head is next to Lincoln's on Mount Rushmore. Not important, of course, unless you are on this game show with a chance to win up to $1 million, or you are battling your family for those all-important family bragging rights. Then it's really important. Our text for this morning does not speak about wisdom that is trivial or useless or unimportant. It actually speaks about a type of wisdom and knowledge that is the most important type of wisdom anyone can have. It's a wisdom that by God's grace is actually given to each one of us. A wisdom that comes to us through His Holy Spirit. That wisdom is a wisdom that you know and probably have known from little on. The knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ, that He is, in fact, our Savior from sin. Verse 30 of our text, Paul says this about Jesus Christ: He is the one whom God made our wisdom. And if you remember the words from our second scripture reading from today, he also called Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. This is the third in our series of Epiphany sermons on Jesus being revealed. And today we see Jesus revealed then as the wisdom of God. Compared to all other types of wisdom and knowledge, this wisdom from God makes all other wisdom seem insignificant. Makes it actually seem pretty trivial. Now let's be clear. It doesn't mean that other types of wisdom aren't important. They are very important, especially for our everyday lives. There are types of wisdom and knowledge that are very useful, very good for this life. Wisdom that we need to perform our jobs properly, to know what to do as a spouse, or as a parent, as a pastor or a teacher. Things that could be useful for our career now or for a future career. Think of how important and how useful, how essential at times, some of the wisdom and knowledge that doctors have, or nurses have. Wisdom that teachers have, professors, researchers. Wisdom of those who work in technology fields. Auto mechanics, plumbers, builders, farmers, even government officials. Those are very important types of wisdom and knowledge that we see put to use on a daily basis that bless us and bless others around us. We do, in fact, need a certain amount of wisdom and a certain kind of knowledge to properly go about our daily lives, to operate and function properly, and just do our daily tasks. But what the world around us tries to convince us of, and what our flesh often tries to convince us of, is that this wisdom of the world, this wisdom of man, is in fact the greatest and highest wisdom that there is. Or that somehow by worldly wisdom or by man's wisdom, we will somehow fix and solve all of the problems that plague us. If we just had more education or more knowledge or more science, we could solve all the world's problems. In fact, what you find sadly to be true is that some of the best and brightest, the most learned people on the planet often scoff at the one true wisdom, the wisdom of God. And many of them consider it to be foolishness. And they consider those like you and me who do rely on this wisdom of Christ, they consider us to be simple-minded and foolish as well. Our scripture reading from 1 Corinthians spoke about these types of things. It said in verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." For all its impressiveness, for all its practicality and usefulness, the wisdom of this world has its limits. It has its limits and will eventually all come to an end. Those diplomas, those degrees that hang on our walls, which we worked so hard for and studied so hard for, they will eventually become obsolete or forgotten. They will fade. The skills and understanding that people train so hard for in their jobs and careers will eventually come to an end, either at retirement or maybe come to an end at the end of their lives. All knowledge and all wisdom will eventually come to an end. All wisdom and knowledge of this world, that is. It is all temporary. Paul wrote in our scripture reading for today, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Man's wisdom does have its serious limitations, especially when you consider the fact that for all of man's wisdom and its greatness and its impressiveness, it cannot answer some of the most definitive and most important questions of life. Who are we? Where do we come from? Where are we going? And how do we get there? Man can guess at these things, can look into these things, can try their best to figure these things out, but in man's foolishness, it cannot compare to the wisdom of God that does answer these questions. Only the wisdom of God can truly answer these questions for us, and he has answered those questions for us in his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God and the Word of God made flesh. Again, hear the words from Paul from our scripture reading. "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." In reality, then, those of us who are simple-minded in the eyes of the world are actually among the wisest people on the planet. Not because we're somehow smarter or greater than the wisest people in this world. When I look around at our congregation, I see people who are extremely intelligent. I see people who are very talented, people who have been blessed greatly with gifts from God. But there are people in the world who are much more intelligent than us, wiser than us, more powerful, more influential than those of us who are gathered here. And Paul alludes to that fact in our sermon text when he says, "For consider your calling, brothers, not many of you, not many of us, are wise according to worldly standards. Not many are powerful. Not many are of noble birth." We're also not somehow better or even more apt to understand and believe this great wisdom from God as those who are the worldly wise. We're not better, we're not smarter, we're not greater, but it was revealed to us completely and totally by God's grace. The undeserved love of God who showed to us his power and his wisdom in Jesus Christ and revealed that to us through his word and his Holy Spirit. Again, Paul writes in our text, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Jesus Christ, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." So are you, in fact, smarter than a fifth grader? Maybe. Maybe you are. Maybe you aren't. Maybe you wouldn't be able to answer the question, how many of the seven continents begin with the letter A? There's four. Asia, Antarctica, Africa, and Australia. Or, if you were traveling down the River Nile, which direction would you be traveling? You'd be traveling north. I cheated. I have the answers to these questions in my manuscript. If you have a manuscript in front of you, you would know the answers to those two trivia questions and the previous two that I'm sure you were thinking the whole sermon, what is the answer to those two trivia questions? The answer to the Pony Express question was the state that is furthest east in the Pony Express was Missouri. And the president's head next to Lincoln on the Mount Rushmore Memorial is Theodore Roosevelt. Trivial questions. Not important. In the grand scheme of things, you might have learned something interesting in that part of the sermon, but it's probably not going to affect your day too much. The question that does need to be asked, however, is do you know Jesus? By the grace of God, I pray that all of us will be able to answer that question with a confident yes. If you know Jesus by faith, then you do know the answers to the great questions of life. Who are we? Well, the Bible answers that question for us again in Jesus Christ. Through the death of Jesus on that horrible yet wonderful cross, we are forgiven. Through faith in Jesus, then, we are children of God. That's who we are. Where did we come from? The Bible tells us very clearly, we are the unique and special creations of God, designed and fashioned by His hand. Where are we going? And how do we get there? Again, the Bible tells us the good news that we are headed for heaven itself because Jesus has made us God's own children and has guaranteed us eternal life with Him through His resurrection from the dead. Those questions and the answers to those questions are beyond the scope of any fifth grader and beyond the scope of any mind of man for that matter. And yet, miraculously, and graciously, they have been revealed to you and to me through the Holy Spirit, through that Word of God that the Spirit uses to give us that wisdom from God. By His grace, we've been able to answer those questions by faith, probably from the time we've been able to sing songs like, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That is true wisdom. The wisdom of God in Jesus Christ, which will make you wise for this life and into eternity. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew.
From our thankful hearts will now be received. continue with our next hymn, hymn 536. We'll sing verse 1 and then 3 through 5. Prayer requests from the congregation today. Let's join our hearts then together in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, We thank you for making your Son, Jesus Christ, known to us as Savior and King of Kings. We pray that you would give us that heavenly wisdom through him, and that you would establish his rule in your people's hearts by faith all over the world. As we have been blessed by the knowledge of our forgiveness through Christ, so also bless those who have not yet received him. Make us willing workers for the spread of your gospel message, that good news. O God, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts in thankfulness and praise. Teach us to trust in your word and to bow to your will. By your Holy Spirit, give us grace to be merciful and kind, to be humble in mind and lowly in spirit. In your word, show us the pathways to true wisdom. Now that Christ has become the sacrifice for our sins, grant that we may be dead to sin and alive instead to righteousness. We pray for your church on earth, dear Savior. Save it from weakness and error, from unfaithful shepherds. Deliver us from false teaching and from harmful divisions. Defend us against the enemies of your church. Teach your people to be patient in hope, steadfast in faith, and constant in prayer, until the time when you shall send forth your angels to gather your own into your heavenly kingdom, when the faithful redeemed shall shine forth as the sun and be joyful forever and ever. To this end, Lord, we ask you to give comfort to those who mourn, give patience to those who are sick, and peace to the anxious. Give strength to anyone who is weak, and give abundance to those who are needy. Dear Lord, give everyone the reminder and the knowledge that their sins are forgiven through your Son, Jesus Christ. Bestow your mercy on all of us, and teach us always to set our sights on things which are above, where Christ our Lord reigns to help us. We ask these things in his saving name, as we pray now in his name, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen.
Close our service today with hymn 919. be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. On behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. I invite you to sign our guest book. I invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. A few announcements for today and for this week. After our worship service today, we'll be having our annual voters meeting in the church fellowship hall. The congregation, of course, is invited to sit on that meeting with us today after the service. This week, on Tuesday, I'll be heading up to Stockton for our worship services there at Atria Assisted Living. I will also be visiting two of our members in the Sacramento area that evening. Wednesday, we have our Villa Fontana worship services at 11 a.m., and then catechism class via Skype at 7 p.m. Thursday, choir got rescheduled for this week, so that changed the order of choir. It will be this week and then I believe 2 weeks from now. So please come and join us for that if you'd like at 6:30 on Thursday. Next Sunday, Bible class at 9 a.m., worship service at 10 a.m., the usual worship times for us here at St. Stephen. There is a church directory put out on the table in the entryway. Would you please check and see if your name is in there? Your name may not be in there. If it isn't, write it in, please, and your contact information. If your contact information needs correcting, please correct it. Chris, do you have any other instructions as to what they're to do with the directory?
No. Just correct your information, and we pretty much know the other stuff that needs to be taken care of.
Sure.
Just take care of your own stuff.
Right? Yeah. Chris says, take care of your own stuff. We'll try to get the directory printed and out within the next couple of weeks. So we'll leave that out there for a few weeks and get the contact information updated. There was one other. Scott, did you have an announcement today?
I am looking into replacing the chandeliers in the wall sconces. We can get single pendants for the chandeliers and matching wall sconces. And we'll triple the amount of light in here by doing that. I've printed out some catalog pages. In the beginning, there's some contemporary ones, and in the back are the traditional ones. Please, I'll put this out on the Narthex. Please feel free to write in comments. I'll leave it out there for a couple weeks. Obviously, we won't be making a decision right away, but something we can look at and make comments about.
Thank you. Any other announcements today?
It's a birthday today.
Who goes first? Ida, was you have the same announcement?
I think we should say happy birthday to Les.
I had a feeling you had the same announcement. It's also a milestone birthday, but I'm not going to say what kind of milestone it is, but it's a very special birthday. Let's sing happy birthday to Leslie. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Leslie. Happy birthday to you. Any other announcements or songs? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.